Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the Dr. Reddy's Q1 FY20 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Agarwal. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Very good morning and good evening to all of you, and thank you for joining us today for the Dr. Reddy's earnings conference call for the quarter ended 30th June 2019. Earlier during the day, we have released our results, and the same are also posted on our website. This call is being recorded. The playback and transcript shall be made available on our website soon. All the discussion and analysis of this call will be based on the IFRS consolidated financial statements. To discuss the business performance and outlook, we have the leadership team of Dr. Reddy's, comprising Mr. Eapen Israeli, our COO, Mr. Saumin Chakraborty, our CFO, and the investor relations team. Please note that today's call is the copyrighted material of Dr. Reddy's and cannot be rebroadcasted or attributed in press or media outlets without the company's expressed written consent. Before I proceed with the call, I would like to remind everyone that the safe harbor language contained in today's press release also pertains to this conference call. Now, I hand over the call to Mr. Saumin Chakraborty. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Amit. Greetings to everyone. Let me take you through the key financial highlights for the quarter. For this section, all the amounts are translated into US dollar at a convenient translation rate of rupees 68.92, which is the rate as of 28th June 2019. Consolidated revenues for the quarter are rupees 3,844 crores, that is $558 million, and grew 3% year-on-year. However, it declined by 4% on a sequential quarter basis. Adjusted for the amount of rupees 181 crores pertaining to the sale of U.S. rights for PP Derma products in the previous quarter, the sequential quarter growth is flat. The year-on-year growth in revenue has been supported by the new product launches and an increase in the volume pickup across our global generics market. This growth has, however, been partially offset due to a sharp decline in the revenue of PSI business, price erosion in the generics market, and absence of Derma product sales, which was divested in the previous year. Consolidated gross profit margin for the quarter is 51.7%, with a sequential quarter decline of 70 basis points. Adjusted for the PP Derma contribution in previous quarter, the gross margin has improved by 150 basis points sequentially. Gross margin of global generics segment is at 57.6%, which has been partially impacted due to slow-moving inventory provision on a specific product, impacting the segment's margin by almost 80 basis points. Gross margin for PSI is at 7.2%, which has been majorly impacted due to lower sales during this quarter. The SG&A spend for the quarter is rupees 1,207 crores, that is $175 million, which is at similar level as last year and declined by 3% on a sequential quarter basis. The SG&A cost percentage to sales declined from 32.5% in Q1 FY19 to 31.4% in current quarter. The decline in expense related to proprietary product commercial business was partially offset with an increase in the expense related to manpower cost increments and an increase in the amortization charges related to new launches. R&D spend for the quarter is rupees 361 crores, that is $52 million, and is at 9.4% of the sales for the quarter, R&D spend is lower by 13% year-on-year and lower by 1% on a sequential quarter basis. The R&D spend, however, is expected to increase during the balance of the year. Other income includes rupees 346 crores received from Celgene pursuant to an agreement entered towards settlement of any claim the company or its affiliates may have had for damages under Section 8 of the Canadian Patented Medicines. That is Notice of Compliance. Regulations in regard to the company's ANDAs for a generic version of Revlimid brand capsules, that is lenalidomide, pending before Health Canada. The EBITDA of the quarter is rupees 1,134 crores, that is $165 million, which is around 29.5% of the revenue. The effective tax rate for the quarter is 22% and we expect to be around similar levels for this year. EPS for the quarter is rupees 39.91. Operating working capital decreased during this quarter by around rupees 75 crores, which is $11 million. The decrease is attributable to a decrease in receivables, partially offset with an increase in the inventory. The net working capital days has marginally improved over the last quarter. We invested rupees 106 crores, which is $15 million towards capital investment in this quarter. The free cash flow generated during this quarter was rupees 850 crores, which is $123 million. Our net debt to equity ratio has improved further and is at 0.04 as on 30th June 2019. Foreign currency cash flow hedges for the next 9 months in the form of derivatives for US dollar are approximately $345 million. Largely hedged around the range of rupees 70 to rupees 73.9 to the dollar. In addition, we have balance sheet hedges of $361 million. We also have foreign currency cash flow hedges of 2,400 million rubles at the rate of rupees 1.075 to the rubles, maturing over next for 9 months. With this, I now request Iraj to take through the key business highlights.
Thank you, Sherman. Greetings to all. We had yet another good quarter with continued improvement witnessed across various business health and performance metrics. There has been significant growth in the free cash flow generation, and we now have much stronger balance sheet. On our quest to grow, diversify our business, and become more efficient, we have seen good traction in new product launches in the US and Europe markets, and continued with the growth momentum in the India and emerging markets. Let me take you through the key highlights across our businesses. Please note that all references to numbers in these sections are in the respective local currencies. The North America generics revenue for the quarters are at $234 million, with a year-on-year decline of 1%. However, the business registered growth of 10% over the sequential quarter, driven by continued ramp-up in G-Subaxone sales and improved contribution from recent launches. The overall market environment has been relatively stable and witnessed base price erosion consistent with past few quarters. We have been fairly busy with the uptick in the launch momentum of new products and until date have launched 10 products since beginning of this fiscal. This includes multiple interesting products like daptomycin, vitamin K injection, carboprost injection, OTC, guanfenazine, pseudo, ramelteon, and relaunch of isotretinoin. Many of which have been either first to market or in limited competition space. We expect this launch momentum to continue and are on the track to bring more than 30 products to the market in FY 2020. As of now, we have around 115 commercial products in the U.S. market. On the Genovarine asset, We are actively awaiting the feedback from the US FDA around the approaching goal date in the coming weeks. While we have answered all the queries in our last CRL response, we expect to receive some additional queries. We will have better visibility on timelines once we hear back from the agency. The Euro business recorded sales of 31 million euros with a year-over-year growth of 22% and a sequential quarter growth of 29%. The strong performance for the quarter was a result of improvement in supply situation and new product launches across markets. During the quarter, we launched 6 products in Germany, 4 in the UK, 3 in France, 1 in Spain. We expect this business to continue to perform well during the year. The emerging market business recorded sales of 730 of Indian cores with a year-over-year growth of 10% and a sequential quarterly growth of 4%. The Russia business grew by 5% year-on-year and 9% quarter-on-quarter in constant currency. The current quarter performance is in line with our expectation. As per our strategic growth plan, we are continuing to strengthen our product portfolio across the emerging markets and expect the current growth momentum to continue going forward. India business recorded sales of 696 crores with a year-on-year growth of 15% and a sequential quarter growth of 7% during the quarter. During the quarter, we launched 8 new brands. As per the secondary sales reported by IQVIA, we have registered strong year-to-year growth of 13% ahead of the total market growth of 10.4% for the quarter ended June 2019. We believe that with our renewed focus on home market, we will continue to grow better than the overall market. The PCI business revenue are at 65 million, which has a decline by 20% on a year-on-year basis and a sequential decline of 32%, partially impacted due to manufacturing issues, which has now been resolved. We expect that the business performance should improve from Q2 onward. On the R&D front, we are progressing well in line with our expectations. While we have filed only one ANDA in this quarter, the filing run rate is expected to pick up during the balance of the year. As of 30th of June 2019, we had 107 cumulative filings pending for approval with the US FDA, including 104 ANDAs and 3 NDAs. During the quarters, we filed 7 drug master files globally. On our proprietary products business, following the divestitures of our on-market derma brands to Encore Dermatology, we recently announced the divestiture of our neuro brand Zembress and Tosimra to Upsher Smith. The transaction value reflects the strong potential of these two brands, and we believe this partnership will help realize the full value for these assets. With these divestitures, we have only exited the front-end commercial business. We remain committed to developing products to address the unmet and undermet medical needs of part of proprietary products business. Our focus going forward will be to leverage our core capabilities in R&D to build a self-sustained business model that consistently delivers high-value, globally relevant, differentiated products providing meaningful health economic outcomes to patients and payers. On the pipeline front, DFD-29, which is a low-dose minocycline, and XP-23829 have both successfully completed phase 2B studies with the data looking quite encouraging. The development on ECO-7 for CTCL indication is also on track. Consistent with these guiding principles, we will continue to further this agenda. On the quality front, I am quite pleased with the outcome of the recent inspections, which has been a result of our focus and dedicated efforts to continuously improve our quality system. We will continue with our efforts of imbibing high quality culture across the organization. As regards to CTO6, we had face-to-face meeting with the US FDA, and based on this discussion with the agency, we expect the re-inspection will be conducted for the site. I am pleased to inform that we also continue to progress well on our journey toward driving cost efficiency, prudent capex investment, and improvement in the business processes for a long-term sustainable growth. With this, I would like to open the floor for questions and answers.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. First question is from the line of Neha Manpuria from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my questions. My first question is on India. You know, we have seen an improvement in the growth momentum outperforming the industry. How should we look at the, you know, growth trend over a medium term? What is our expectation of, you know, the India performance, let's say, over the next 2 years? Where do we see our India business?
India is a very important market to us. We indicated also in the past that it's a we are focusing on India and we want to grow our ranking. So we should expect to see growth that is better than the overall market. We will also, if applicable and we'll find the right deal, we will not be shy to do inorganic moves as well.
Anirudh, how do you plan to, you know, improve the growth rate or maintain the growth momentum? If you could, you know, indicate a couple of actions that we are taking to probably, you know, further improve the growth.
It's a combination of improving the execution of the sales force. So we have, and that's what we are doing. It's a sales force effectiveness and other commercial excellence activities. This is one. Second, we are and we are putting more investment in the brands that have a chance to be bigger. And the third is that we are launching. As I mentioned, we already launched 8, and we are going to continue to do so. So we are ramping up and launching more products.
Understood. And my second question is on the margins. You know, this is the second quarter where we are seeing certain provision for inventory. I think we saw some in the last quarter too. What are these provisions related to, and should we expect, you know, more such provisions going forward?
We always built up inventory in anticipation for new product launch. So if there is a considerable delay in that, there is no other option left for providing for, you know, inventories which are closer to shelf life expiry.
So this is primarily for the US in that case?
Mostly.
Understood. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Surya Patra from Philip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for this opportunity, sir. Again, on the gross margin front, so although there is a kind of a decline, sequential decline in the PSI business, which is generally a low margin or low gross margin business, despite that, we have seen a kind of a sequential decline in the gross margin. So entire of this negative trend in the gross margin is because of the inventory adjustment?
No. If you see, the gross margin of global generic segment has actually improved. So it is the PSAI which has pulled down, and then also this inventory provision that has also contributed.
Okay. So are you quantifying, sir, this inventory adjustment?
We are clarifying what is the gross margin of global generic segment, which is 57.6,
yeah,
and PSAI is at 7.2, which is, you know, although the mix wise there is a benefit because global generics as a percentage of overall Dr. Reddy's sale has improved, and then the remaining is attributable to write-offs or providing for, you know, inventory.
And do you think this is a kind of a sustaining fact for this year, or it is just a couple more quarters specific or anything on that front?
ESAI, as Idesh has already alluded, we believe it was a Q1 specific issue. It should bounce back in Q2. So far as slow-moving inventory provision, you know, it all depends. If there is a further delay in anticipated new product launch, we have to appropriately then take care of that.
Okay. On the second question on the PSI business, see this, the whatever the impact that we are seeing, it is only because of the manufacturing or any pricing or vol or any other issue that we are witnessing on the market?
It is primarily because of operational issues.
Okay.
We have a healthy order book, which gives confidence of, you know, recovering in Q2, because we have a healthy order book.
Okay. And just on one more question on the Novaring side. So what could be the kind of a competitive scenario there? Though it is, where as of now, it seems that, okay, it is a limited competition one, and you have already indicated that you have responded to the CRL there, and you're hopeful about it. So any color on that front in terms of the timeline that you are visualizing and the competitive scenario there?
On the competitive scenario, we don't see any additional people that are coming beyond the one we know. So in that respect, I don't see a change. As of the timing, it depends on the queries, if and when they will come, then we will know the timelines to address those. We don't have any better indication than that at this stage.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, sir. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nimish Mehta from Research Delta Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my question. So, a little bit more on the gross margin. If you can just tell us, you know, what would be the gross margin had we had a normalized PSAI? I mean, just so that we know what to model, that would be helpful. And second question is about the launch of Vimovo. Are we likely to launch it at risk? What is the plan? Thank you.
First is, you know, PSAI, there could be fluctuations from quarter to quarter, so it is very difficult to tell you, you know, what could be a normal range. But if we perform well, then it should be better than 20%. It could be even 30%, or it depends. It can fluctuate, so it is very difficult for me to tell any specific, you know, normal range.
But the PSAI margin should be taken as 20 to 30% normalized. I mean, what's the 7% that we're seeing right now? Is that a fair understanding?
So I'm just giving you the range. It is, if we look at the past data and draw a kind of a, you know, kind of a, how it has fluctuated over the things, then you can also get to your own conclusion. Otherwise, you know, some investor relations, they can send you the past graph of what has happened in different quarters. But yeah, it will be safer to assume, you know, that kind of range.
Okay. So, okay, I mean, just to put it in context, we had earlier said that the gross margin would hover between 53 to 56% at a group level.
That is for the company. Again, if you look at the past data, and I said that time there will be some exceptions in few quarters, but if you see the past data, you will see that it has fluctuated between this range in most of the quarters. Even if you take for last several years, multiple quarters, the fluctuation has been, you know, more than 80 to 85% of the data point will be in that range, and 52 to 56. So that we will expect for a company level a normal kind of range.
Yes, at a company level, once we get back to normalized sales on PSA, 53 to 56 is a reasonable expectation. Is that a fair understanding?
If the PSAI, because 7.2 is pretty low, you can understand.
Right.
If this quarter, if the margin level would have been higher, then definitely overall company margin also would have come, you know, within that range.
And as for the Vimovo, your second part of the question.
Right.
First, we have a very exciting positive outcome of in the Court of Appeals. As you know, that we won the two right. patents. Now we are waiting for basically to get either denial or absence of the rehearing or the issuance of the mandate in the next coming weeks. Now, once the mandate is issued, naturally we will evaluate the launch possibility. And it's an exciting product. We will not commit now what we will do, but we are very excited about this one.
Okay, understood. If I may squeeze in also would be helpful if you can tell us about the, you know, possible outlook of the vitamin K injection that we recently launched. And do you think Revlimid as an opportunity is exciting now that you've settled in Canada? I'm talking about the U.S. opportunity. So some color on both these products will be extremely helpful. Thank you very much, Ryan.
So vitamin K is a great product. That's what I can say about it. And we are very happy about it. We are not giving guidance per product. And as for the other one, we are proceeding in the legal case, and we believe that we have a nice story about it that also the innovator is appreciates.
Innovator appreciates, okay. You're talking about the U.S. market, right?
Yes. Yeah. There is no relation between the Canada process and the U.S. These are separate processes.
Correct. Correct. Yes. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from IDFC Securities. Please go ahead.
All right, so thanks for taking my question. So on the again in the gross margin bit on the U.S. business, especially in the global generic business, we've had three or four quarters of 57.5% gross margins. You know, we used to be much earlier in this, much higher margins earlier in this business. So in, given the new pricing dynamics in the market, is this the normalized level for this business, or do you see opportunities to meaningfully increase it on a global generic segment going forward?
It depends on, you know, new products and... you know, if there is a significant kind of a new product launch, then definitely, you know, during those quarters, there could be an improvement possible. Now, similarly, in a quarter, if there is no new product launch, it could be impacted because. So, again, very difficult, you know, the reason why we not provide any kind of financial guidance is that it is unpredictable. You cannot, you know, give any kind of a specific kind of thing, what it could be. This is what you see is the impact of all the, you know, price reductions which have been happening over the last few years.
Right. And so, I mean, on R&D, we still hold on to the $250 to $300 million guidance for the year. We have $50 million or so spent this quarter.
So let me clarify in one thing. We always say we don't give any kind of financial guidance. So at the same time, on few of these, like, you know, CAPEX or R&D or effective tax rate, what we provide is more of an, you know, indicated kind of thing, which if there is any change quarter to quarter, we can then accordingly, you know, inform all of you. So at this point of time, there is no reason for me to believe that it will go out of this range. For the first quarter, it has been 52, but for the remaining three quarters, it could, you know, it could cumulatively come to the same. But if there is any change, we expect, then in a Q2 earning call, we will talk about that.
And lastly, are there any more costs on the proprietary business which are still there in this current quarter numbers, which will be probably reduced from the next quarter onwards?
So, as you know that it is a commercial part of the business which is actually closing down. So there are definitely some of the employee settlement related thing which you'll have to factor in. So we'll come back probably next quarter onwards. You can see at a normalized level of property products business, the cost aspects on that front. But we are going to continue to spend money on R&D for property products. So that will be there. Only thing you are not going to see any, sales except for the royalty from property products business.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Abhishek Sharma from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Sir, just two questions. You said on PSAI, essentially this was a manufacturing related issue. Can you help us with more color on it? It must have been facility specific. So, which facility was impacted?
So you are asking more, granular details. There have been, some hiccups in terms of committing to customer delivery, and that has impacted the sales. As already Ramesh has alluded that those things have been resolved. And since we have a healthy order book, we expect the quarter two performance to get back to normal level.
Okay, just one bit on that. It was product specific or was it site specific?
Do we have any site quality issues? The answer is no. These are related to production specific.
Got it. And the other question is, on strong free cash flow. Now, the company continues to generate strong free cash flow. Last year was great. This quarter again has been great. So in terms of capital deployment, how are you thinking about it? What avenues are you exploring for that?
So, this is something we discuss at length within management and along with the board in terms of the total, capital allocation. In the past, when we had surplus cash, we even went for a buyback arrangement. But if there is an inorganic growth opportunity which is there, then that also is helpful in terms of the capital deployment. We have already alluded to that in terms of our total CapEx requirement, the need has come down, already having invested so much in the capacity. So, and we have been continuing with a very consistent, dividend policy. So this is something which we are discussing internally. In terms of which specific part of the business where the capital allocation could be more in comparison to some other part of the business. Those are some, adjustments which we will be doing in our capital allocation.
We are absolutely planning to use our financial capacity for inorganic once it will be material. We will not go crazy and will not pay something that we should not pay. And we mentioned it also in past meetings as well. But we are very happy about our situation, and it's going to be even further improved as, for example, we already got some of the money for the proprietary product as well of what we did, which we'll recognize next quarter. So this allow us now much more flexibility, strategic flexibility, and naturally we will spend the money if we'll go inorganic in the relevant spaces that we decline. So within, to create additional value in the spaces that we are focusing on.
And just to close that out, where do you see opportunities in terms of inorganic? Is it more India emerging markets, US, or something else?
Actually, there are many, many assets that are out there, plus there are many, many assets that will be out there. I think fortunately for us, we have a very good situation, especially in terms of balance sheet. I think that some of our colleagues in the market have much have issues, and you know well about it, and I believe that more assets will come. And in each one of the spaces, so what we want to make sure that it's not just the right value for investment, but also that it will help us to create the right capability, the right synergy in each one of the spaces. Specifically for India, we'd love to have it to have in India and any one of the spaces that we have.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Prakash Agarwal from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So the question on the just announced Mylan-Upjohn, you know, merger taking place, and we've also seen Aurobindo, you know, buying out large Sandoz assets in US. So how do we think about the current environment? You know, is it like, you know, the large players consolidating and the pain points, you know, bottoming out? Or do we still see, you know, the pain points coming ahead and that's why they're getting, you know, merging and that's why, you know, getting stronger to face the headwinds? How should we look at it?
I believe that each one of the cases is different. Sando is something that happened more than a year ago, and it has actually started more than, I think, 18 months ago when it actually started. And the rationale, of course, was the way Sando and Novartis wanted to conduct the Sando business at the time. I believe that the recent news of Mylan and Pfizer is coming from, of course, the perspective of these companies and how we want to manage the generic assets. So I don't see it in similarities. And naturally, what we are going to see, I believe, is that assets will continue to flow out of there, and people are finding solutions for the relevant challenges, especially for those that have the challenges. They will seek those solutions. We are on the, I hope we can find, that we will find ourselves on the winning side because we can actually use those assets if they will be synergetic to our activities. So I see it overall as an opportunity.
Okay, but Dr. Reddy's as such, we are not looking for something as large in terms of acquisitions. We would be more so looking at something in the emerging market. Would that be correct understanding?
We are looking all over the place for the relevant opportunity, not necessarily in emerging markets.
Perfect, great. And so second question on Suboxone. Since the last Q4 commentary, we made a comment that we are improving market share. Have we, reached a fair share? Has the competition intensified there? And what is the outlook there?
I think that the main change was not so much about the fair share, but rather that the uptake of generics as a whole, it means that the substitution from the innovator products to the generics as a whole was relatively slow. I think we see
50%.
I see that it's about 50% right now, so it means that there is more room for growth in that respect.
So I did not understand. 50% generics are already there, you're saying?
No. Genericization of this product, this brand. So even now, the innovator brand is continuing to hold 50% of the market share.
Okay, and we would have around
it times to get genericization. All generics company combined will have the remaining 50%.
Understood. And we would be at around 15-20%, sir?
We would be around 20% of the generic market, Prakash.
20%. Perfect, great. And sir, last question on Russia CIS. last year, obviously, on a low base, we saw a lot of launches, and we had a good base. So, but particularly this quarter, the start has been slower. How should we see the full year?
Again, we cannot give guidance, but as Vijay said, that we are doing multiple, we're taking multiple initiatives, including new product launch, improving the sales force effectiveness. So we hope to perform well in the Russia market.
Perfect, great. Thank
you. By the way, Russia, it's not that slow. For Russia, it's not that slow. I don't know what others are doing in Russia, but if you see the IMS for the Russia market, you'll see that it's not that slow.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shyam Srinivasan from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. My first question is on generic Velcade. I recollect we had a 505B2. So is there any update on this particular filing?
So, Shyam, on the generic product, the generics have basically lost the case and will only be able to launch after the patent expiry. And for the 505B2, the file is in under review with FDA. And as and when we hear from FDA, maybe at that point in time, we can come to market. So as of now, we don't have any further update. The filing is under review with FDA.
Amit, do you think it's like a few quarters, or you think it's like next year kind of an opportunity if it comes through?
A little difficult to comment at this point in time because we haven't heard from FDA and it is an old filing, so we don't have a goal to track.
Okay, thank you. My second question is on Revlimid. I think to another participant, I was not clear what was mentioned. Are we waiting now for the district court process to complete, which is like early 2020 calendar year? Would that be the current status update on the Revlimid?
We are in the legal process. I don't know about the dates. It's hard to predict dates of legal proceeding, but we are in the legal processes.
Okay.
We haven't got any
data. Okay. Sure. My last question is on SG&A. I think we have seen like significant progress on this, 31% fiscal in the current quarter. Historical levels, 515, 16 have been lower. Do you think there is more room for the cost rationalization program to kind of cut costs further?
Yes, there is.
So, in any sense, is that, where are these, what are these areas? Because we have done a lot of work. What are the other pending kind of levers that you think we can actually kind of bring down?
See, even if whatever we do it, all the things doesn't accrue straight away. It accrues over a period of time. And second thing, there is always scope to improve productivity beyond what we have today. And that depends on technology, that depends on, specific interventions. So we are going to focus on it. This is a journey which we have undertaken with utmost seriousness, and we want to be more efficient.
Got it.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sameer Baisiwala from Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks. Good evening. Any updated thoughts on increasing the scale of operations in China, specifically 70 products that you thought is something that you can take to that market?
Yeah, so we are on track with that. We increased the team that is dealing with the development, and as we are doing for some of the products, we are doing studies in China, and especially bio studies, and we also at a project of expansion of the capacity of the plant that we have in Kunshan. So we recently upgraded the management over there and sent a new head of China. So we are ramping up, and I'm very happy with the progress that we have in China.
Great. So it is, what's the roughly the time that it takes to do the bio studies and all the work that's required and do the filing? And second, from filing to approval, so if you can just help us with that.
It's a bio study, it's a process including the stability, etc., let's say around a year. And as related to filing to approval, it depends on the whether the product can meet GA or not, because they can do it very, very fast. But let's say between a year to 18 months, it's this is the timing.
18 months, you're saying from now to getting to the market or just approval?
No, no, from filing to approval, that's what you asked.
Well, yeah, that's it. Got it. Okay. Okay. And so basically, it is fair to say that it's about 2 years plus, 2 to 3 years before we start to see the real money come in. Would that be a fair assessment?
It depends what you call real money. We are growing at double digit as we speak. And this is pretty real. But yeah, we will see in this period of time much bigger money. Yeah, that's what we are planning to have.
Okay, great. And then on proprietary products for the three drugs which are right now in the clinical development, would you want to take them fully to the market and commercialize? Or do you think at some point in time, you would be looking to monetize as you had done with the five other products?
We'll probably monetize them as well.
Okay. In effect, over some over a time period, you would be completely exiting the specialty business.
No, we are not exiting. Let's clarify that. That's important. What we saw that we do not that we do have an advantage on the development and the clinical development of these kind of products, and we want to continue to leverage that because this is a proven capability that we have. What we saw that we do not have advantage, even lost money, is on the commercialization, the detailing in the United States. That part we lost money, so we are exited the commercialization or the direct commercialization of the products. But we did not exit specialty. We believe that we can make more money by monetizing this product than by selling it ourselves, at least for the next coming years. So we are not exiting specialty. That's a very important clarification.
Also, we explained earlier, it is very difficult to synchronize the number of products which will get launched in a specific sales force, you know, you build up. So if you have only one product to, you know, promote, then you cannot recover the total sales force expense. So considering all these things, we thought it is prudent that, you know, if people have the scale and the capability, they can do much better with the product that we develop and, you know, get on a royalty model.
Plus, in the markets that we do have the access, we will absolutely take them commercially. And the way we see specialty, we see it more as a global business than an American business. And in places like India and Russia, for example, we are actually actively working. These are not the names that you saw, but we have additional proprietary products for these countries.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Hari Belawat from Techfin Consultants. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. This is regarding this net finance income you have shown during this quarter of around 39 crores. I mean, out of which some it has come, you know, sale of investment, profit sale of investment, 20 crores is the because of that. Is it a regular phenomena for selling of assets and earning profits, or is it just a one-off case?
No, these must be pertaining to the mutual fund investment.
Normally we, you know, whatever we have, the surplus cash, instead of keeping in the fixed deposit, which will give very low return, we do on a, based on the credit setting and safer fund kind of a analysis. So when you redeem them, then that leads to the, the profit on sale of investment. Earlier, there was a different accounting standard where immediately, it could have probably gone to balance sheet and later on to P&L. Now it is impacting directly with the current accounting standard.
Okay, sir, I agree. But you have shown it in all the quarters, even including in, last year corresponding quarter also this was income, and sequential quarter also this is shown as income. So every quarter you are having finance income that way. Is it?
If we have money, we will, if we are investing in MF, then whenever we redeem, we will generate, profit on that investment. So that will come on that quarter.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is a good decision for investing money there. Another thing is where it is shown in the Indian accounting standard. In Indian accounting, it is a finance cost it is shown, but this income is included. Is it in other income or elsewhere?
It is a part of the finance income.
No, sir. In your statement for this consolidated statement, you have shown this is the expense. I mean, this is not a net income.
There are two things. One is we have some loans, and whatever loan we have taken, there we pay interest. So that will be an interest cost. And wherever we make investment, if there we earn, that will be an interest that we earn. So net is, if we have more investment than what we are spending on loan, then the net comes. Suppose I'm saying hypothetically, if you would have spent a lot of money on inorganic growth, then you will find it is more of a net interest expense rather than an interest income.
Okay, I'm not able to comprehend this thing. Because in the consolidated statement, you have shown finance cost up to 98 million and then 249, something like that, which is actually interest cost, not the income.
Hari, you may get in touch with the investor relations team. We will clarify you offline, whatever you want to understand.
Okay. Thanks.
If any, you can go ahead.
Thanks a lot for this. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Charulata Gaidani from Dalal & Broacha. Please go ahead.
Hi. My question pertains to the ANDA filings. Of the 34 first-to-file opportunities, what would be the addressable size and how many would be, how many approvals would you expect in this year?
So I mentioned before we are planning to launch 30-plus products in this year. Some of them are the first to file. I don't know the exact number.
Okay. And my second question pertains to Russia. What is the normalized growth that you expect for Russian market? For
Doctor? As I told you earlier, we do not give any financial guidance. So we... We can only tell you that we expect to grow. By how much, we will not be able to quantify and give you a guidance.
Okay. Fine. Thank you.
Thank you. We have the last question in queue from the line of Sunil Patra from Phillip Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just thanks for the follow-up. So if you can give some clarity on your progress in the biosimilar side, for the advanced market, that is one. And second, I just wanted to have a clarity. This 70 million, the disposal receipt upfront, whether you have factored this quarter or whether it will be factored in the subsequent quarter.
Second question I will take first. It will be in subsequent quarter because that deal got closed in July after the FTC approval. And also we have received cash. So it will be in Q2. It was not in Q1. Okay. Then the first question.
On the biologics, we are on track with the rituximab studies. So this is on track. We have the patients coming up and piling up for the study. So everything is on time, on track, on budget in that respect.
Sorry, I missed the product name, sir.
Rituximab.
Okay, rituximab. Okay. Yeah. Any other product that is in the advanced stage or development?
For the United States, that was published. We did not disclose the names of the others, but we are working on multiple others. This is the name.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Amit Agarwal for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today for the earnings call. In case of any further query, please reach out to the investor relations team. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Dr. Reddy's, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.